I don't touch my asshole much. You know, it's sort of not forbidden or taboo. It's like off, like I don't like interacting with it. And I think his wife's vagina might be just because it's kind of gross. Like I'm disgusted by it. And I think he may be sort of disgusted by his wife's vagina.
I'm not disgusted by my asshole. Kind of like it.
Hello and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. We have our usual provocative list of topics to cover today, including how much variance is there in vagina taste, a man who wants to like pegging but just can't, another man who refuses to touch his wife's vulva, and more. But before we get into that, I would like to personally apologize for Mike's flubbing up of the audio from last week's episode.
Oh, fuck off.
Mike, yeah. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, our podcast hosting provider, who will remain unnamed, did a bad job syncing up the audio. I didn't notice it before posting it and then fixed it like 24 hours later. And so, of course, that episode is now in high quality, high definition as usual. But yeah, it was desynced by like a half a second.
I found it intolerable to listen to and noticed it immediately.
The point being that I should have noticed it immediately before posting it. This just shows that I should listen to the episodes before I post them.
Yeah. Well, you're doing 98% of the work there, so I can't complain too much.
Right. Keith, you said there's something interesting you've been doing the last 3 days.
It's interesting because it's so pathetic. Okay. So I got back from my marathon and I'd been running, but it felt like I was approaching some sort of possible, like the wheels coming off. Cause I'd been, you know, training for so long and obsessing about running. And after the marathon, you get, they call this like post-marathon blues. Anyway, 3 days ago, I downloaded this video game that I'd been meaning to try. And I logged onto it this morning. And it tells you how long you've played.
Okay.
And I guess I can look right now because I think it's been basically 72 hours since I first, because I started playing it 3 days ago this afternoon. And yeah, so my total time played is 44 hours over the last 72 hours.
I think that so there's a do you listen to the Huberman podcast? I realize that Huberman has gotten Me Too'd.
He did?
Or well, sort of. I read on social media that some women that he was dating compared notes and found that he was like telling one of them that he was sick when he was fucking the other one. Like it was multiple women sort of doing that with. A friend said to me, oh, that's just what guys do. Fair enough.
Right.
But like he's been sort of caught out in a way. Anyway, Huberman had a piece about how like engaging in some sort of like super dopamine activity like that, an addictive activity, can actually make things worse because your brain eventually is like, hey, I'm getting too stimulated, and actually downregulates. So you can actually get more bummed out if you immediately jump into a dopamine filled activity.
I see. Yeah. I don't know. There was another part of the patheticness I wanted to mention, which is a couple days before my marathon, I weighed 149 pounds. And this morning, I weighed 164 pounds.
That's impressive. So you've gained 15 pounds in a few days.
In 2 weeks, basically.
Huh.
I think 17 days. Now, obviously, I couldn't have consumed a calorie surplus of that magnitude. But I think I was, I've been drinking a lot too. And so I think that just makes you puffy in general.
Do you think some of that could be fluid stored in your prostate?
I don't think fluid is stored.
Oh, sure it is. It's your ejaculate fluid. Like maybe you haven't nutted frequently enough.
That
so you're just getting this sort of heavy elephantitic.
That's not the case, though.
Okay. You've been blowing plenty of loads.
I have. I finally showered today, so that was.
What does that mean?
Well, that implies there were days that I hadn't. I don't really want to get into specifics.
Okay. Well, I've spent my day today consuming handfuls of benzodiazepines, so we're on the same page.
Things are going well for the hosts of the Your Mileage May Vary podcast.
Yeah, we're just doing really well here.
Don't be like us friends at home.
Yeah, get out and live your lives. Okay, right. So we have this email from a couple weeks ago that we kind of weren't going to a month actually ago. This guy basically is incensed, I think, at us for saying that pegging is gay adjacent. And he wanted to give us a set of situations and ask us which is more gay. And he really put a lot of time into this. So I think we should at least give him a.
Can we set this up a bit further? Because
yeah,
I actually had something, I guess, tangential to this. But it's predicated on you have this theory that I think goes against the modern sexual awakening zeitgeist, which is... The modern zeitgeist would say, people who are sex positive would say, enjoying anal play or thinking about anal play a lot as a man is completely unrelated to whether or not you're gay.
Right.
And you feel differently.
I do feel differently because once a man tries to invert the dominance paradigm, I think that the ultimate way to do that is just to have a guy fuck you. And I think that's the direction they're going. And I think these are typically people who would look, if I enjoyed pegging, this is just the truth. If I enjoyed pegging, if I enjoyed it, not I'm cajoled into it, not, oh, fine, I'll do it so that you'll give me a blowjob. Nothing like that. I enjoy it. I'm asking for it. I have to think that it would be even better if the thing pegging me was a penis that could ejaculate in me and give the person fucking me pleasure. Right? That's got to be more exciting.
I mean, if a lesbian fucks herself with a dildo, is she now straight?
I think they should ask themselves that.
Got it. Okay. So you're being consistent at least.
I mean, maybe not that, but certainly once they move up to strap on dildo, I think it's like strap on dildos I know are somewhat controversial in lesbian communities for this reason.
Okay. So the thing that you think nudges you in the direction controlling your sexuality is whether or not you're dominant or submissive and what sex you are.
I think it's important. I think it plays a factor.
Okay. It's a non-zero consideration.
Correct.
All right. So that's what you think. And in that context, you think this emailer...
He takes issue with us. He's trying to understand what we consider to be gay or feminine. He sent this, by the way, at 5:05 a.m.
Maybe he's in a different really time zone.
Could be. I can't tell. And I don't know what day of the week it was either.
What's the subject of this email so I can find it in our...
Dancing versus pegging versus Keith. Oh, I like that it's you, not me.
I remember
okay,
this
so
email
let me,
now.
Let me get into this a little bit. Okay. Let's see. All of the following acts are performed by a straight identifying man, either in a relationship, looking for a straight relationship, or who never had another experience with a man until this. Okay, here's the first situation. There's a straight man who's hanging out with his friends and is done watching the NCAA tournament after drinking all day. heads back to crash
manly
his
so
place.
Far.
Heads back to crash his place because he's unable to drive.
Responsible.
Then finds himself receiving oral sex from his friend, presumably male. He then goes back to his wife in life, but it happens three other times, never to be discussed between them again. So that's situation one.
It's oddly specific.
So the same situation, except this time they have a long, passionate kiss session between the two men who caress each other, excluding the private parts, and they do it each time they hang out. The third one is they like to masturbate together while seated on the floor facing one another and don't touch, but time it so they can come at the same time on a black towel. I'm not sure why the towel has to be black.
Also oddly specific. Okay.
Next one is so to recap here, we've got the guys gets a blow three times. Second one is they just kiss. Third one is they beat off onto a black towel. Fourth one is the one friend has a full-size real doll. They get completely naked and have sex with the doll at the same time, one with the mouth, one with the vagina, or vagina and ass, but come together, trying to time it at the same time so they can ejaculate on each other's cocks. Final situation is nothing happens, but the friend goes home to his wife who pegs him once every 1 to 3 months.
Oh, I see what he's doing here.
Which one of these is the most gay and which one is the least gay? That's the challenge.
I think, okay, so we have 5 total situations.
Yes.
One is he watches the game with his buddies, goes home, he's drunk, but finds himself receiving oral sex from his friend.
Yes.
But this happens 3 other times, so that's a total of 4 blowjobs, I guess. I mean, that's pretty gay. I think receiving blowjobs from a man, and presumably because he's done it 4 times, like not once, not twice, it's like...
I think in all these situations, it's supposed to happen 4 times. But look, I think that oral sex is the most gay here.
What?
Beating off onto the black towel? Oh, gosh, this is really hard. Maybe the kiss is the second most gay.
I think kissing is the most gay.
You think that's the most gay?
Okay. I think you can receive a blowjob. I would rather receive a blowjob than kiss a man.
Would you rather give a blowjob than kiss a man?
We've been through this before, and the answer is maybe.
Yeah, I think I agreed with you on that. Okay. What about the beating off on the black towel?
If he's not coming, then almost definitely. And if he is coming, I don't know.
Stuff comes out before he comes, though.
I know. But the specifics are pretty important. And that they're at all important is sort of illuminating. Like, that's how much I really don't want to kiss a man.
Yeah, okay. And the black towel?
They don't
touch. I think I might have trouble coming.
They like to masturbate together while seated on the floor. I don't know. Is that what? How do you masturbate while sitting on a floor? Facing one another. And don't touch, but time it so they can come at the same time on a black towel. So they're facing each other.
I don't think this has ever actually happened. Coming at the same time.
I mean, that's like a 2-person circle jerk.
Yeah, but the timing, the coming is a little weird. Line jerk.
Do circle jerks not typically end in some sort of timing?
I thought the way a circle jerk worked was you had like a cookie in the middle. Whoever comes last has to eat it.
Oh, that sounds like a hazing thing.
Yeah. So you got to come as fast as possible. But timing it so you come together is tricky.
Do you think you would be good at such a contest?
No.
I think I would be very unaroused and stressed. And that combination would be bad.
Yeah, it'd be hard to come.
What would you do to prepare for such a thing? Like not masturbate for a week and like before you go into the room, like watch a ton of like really great porn so you're as close to ready to go and then hope that can overwhelm the negative emotions of a bunch of other dudes with their dicks out and the pressure.
Either that I would either do that or get one of those devices that Eastern European porns have where like it fits in your hand and it just makes it look like a gallon of nut came out of your penis.
Oh, you would try to cheat, of course. Always with the cheating.
Okay. Well, I don't want to have to eat the cookie.
Yeah. You could cheat with something that neutralizes the semen.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
All right.
You could come last. Okay.
Let's move on. The same situation, except, yeah, that feels pretty gay.
Let's get to the core of the question.
That's less gay than kissing, though.
Is any one of these things less gay than being pegged every one to three months by your wife?
Right, because that's what he's really doing here. It's a sleight of hand, right? He's trying to say things that, like, of course, people would say that's pretty gay, and then at the end, he's like, "Well, what is it? Is it gay to like have your wife peg you?"
Right.
I think all of these things are gayer. Yeah, I think so too. But
I think once
importantly, your point is not that like getting pegged once makes you definitely gay. It's just that you're starting down the road. You've taken a
correct.
You've dipped your toes into the water.
Right, that's the point. Okay,
I think he missed that nuance.
Okay.
Can I interject here?
Wait, what's going on here?
I realize I haven't been introduced or anything, but like I feel like there's a nuance being missed here. This is Eric. I'm guesting here.
What? Hi, Eric. Welcome to the podcast.
I was supposed to be a silent observer, but I just have to say something.
Jesus. Here. All right. Jump all in.
Right. Let's hear it.
I wouldn't say it's causally gay, that being pegged by a wife, but it's correlationally gay. And I'm going to make the following metaphor. If someone gets like falling down drunk at a bar, it doesn't make them an alcoholic. Like normal people can get unhealthily drunk, but it's more likely that they are an alcoholic. And if they have if they are genetically an alcoholic, doing stuff like that is going to possibly activate their latent alcoholism.
I think Mike might say that's an imperfect analogy because the problem with getting pegged is it's establishing that you sort of like being submissive. And he thinks there may be a causal link between being submissive and being homosexual as a man.
Oh, sure. So, and like, look, drinking booze can have a causal impact on being an active alcoholic, even though it's a genetic condition. You have to activate the genetic condition. And if you have like tendencies, and like this isn't like a totally black and white thing, like sexuality exists on a spectrum. So like if you're sort of near the middle on that spectrum, engaging in these sort of behaviors could like nudge you, I think.
That makes sense.
But I will agree that that's the least gay of the things. And kissing another guy is clearly the gayest.
Eric, now that we have you here, how many of those things have you done?
Zero. 0.0.
You have not done the line jerk?
I saw on Craigslist, a used female sex doll. And it was like only discounted 30%.
That feels like the kind of thing that loses a lot more value as soon as it's off the lot.
That's what I thought.
Well, isn't that basically what all women are?
Wow.
On some level.
Care to expand on that?
Well, I mean, all women are used sexual products if they're not a virgin.
So, okay.
I mean, how much would you discount them? How much more would you pay for a virgin versus someone who's had sex with like three dudes?
It depends.
Maybe not very much. Yeah. Not very much. But if it's 300, then I think that matters.
Yeah. But you know, this is just one guy, and you can put this one in a dishwasher.
I'm not sure you can put it in a dishwasher because it's kind of big.
No, they usually have. Don't they have pull out things? Pull out the vaginas. You can pull it out and put it in there.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not as familiar with them as you are.
Yeah.
I've never had one, but I feel like I've read about this.
Okay.
There was a sitcom I was watching where the premise was some guy was house sitting for someone and then he found the sex doll in the closet and it, you know, he goes a day without exploring it and then he finally pulls it out. He can't stop himself and then he gets obsessed with it. And the guy he's house sitting for eventually comes home and sees that he's had his way with the sex doll.
I mean, think about it. Like, this doesn't make sense, right? Like, I agree that intuitively it seems grosser to use someone's used sex toy.
Right.
But objectively, it's less gross. Like, you're not going to get herpes from it.
The worry would be that you can't completely clean it.
I think I might be able to.
But objectively, that's just false.
I think I might be able to intellectualize away that concern if I was in the market for a sex doll. Because they're expensive.
Huh. Yeah.
And here's a live adult sex doll, but it's not coming up right now. On the website, so I can't tell you. How much is it? This one's only $500. It's pretty expensive.
No, I think sex dolls are often thousands, sometimes tens.
This is a used one. This is a used one.
So. Okay.
Okay.
I had another thing to say about pegging. It's actually one of the Reddit topics from this week, and it's short, so let me read it really quick. All right.
Yeah.
So this is a man. He's 23. His wife's 25. So my wife pegged me last night, and I didn't feel like I thought it would. So last night, my wife pegged me. I put a lot of prep into it. Good diet, emptied the chute, and wore butt plugs all day. But when it came down to it, When it came down to it, it never felt good. I wasn't getting off to it. I never felt like she was hitting my G-spot. It just felt like she was thrusting into a tunnel. I'm disappointed. Does anyone have any tips or tricks to make it feel better? And I want to read the first comment here, and then open it up. My husband and I are working on prostate play, but he gets uncomfortable with the pressure and I need to pee feeling. The prostate is described as a walnut size. It can be easy to slide past if the item you're using isn't curved or angled properly. You have to try different toys in different positions to get the feeling that you enjoy most. start with my finger and ask him when I find it. Then once I get a rhythm and remind myself of depth and location, we found the Enjoy Pure Wand works well for both of us, actually. Lots of communication. Once you guys figure out what best hits your prostate, you can then translate that knowledge to a toy and a harness for pegging. This sounds like a lot of work.
Well, if it's a lot of pleasure, it's worth it.
Agreed, but first you have to be like Marco Polo investigating inside the cave, right, to find this walnut-sized prostate. Is the prostate really the size of a walnut?
I believe that, yeah. Yes, because
like I know more semen than the volume of a walnut.
I saw a gay porn once where the guy who was receiving, he sort of moaned, "My walnut." So that's great. That is a real thing. Intruding like that into a female anus just feels a lot more compelling, at least to a man, than a man's anus. Man's
but
anus
they don't even have a prostate to be vibrated with.
Sure,
it's Enjoy
just
Pure Wand.
Right, you just want to violate women generally. That's you just
right. It's you're imposing.
You're so it's prim and proper.
Can I just say what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Which is who's driving this behavior? It's like they're trying this. Most men don't have an impulse to do this. He's tried it. It hurts. Why is he continuing? Like, what's the goal here? This is like, right. I'm going to make an off-color analogy here. It's like saying like, hey, I'm interested in getting into anorexia, but I find that when I stick my fingers down my throat, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, it's because you're not supposed to do that. Like, what's the mountaintop they're aiming for here?
Yeah. Well,
the prostate stim is supposed to feel good. You think,
but it doesn't. Like he's tried it and it doesn't.
You're
so
saying,
don't do it.
You're saying you think that biologically men are not supposed to have things jammed up their buttholes?
I think that's a good prior to start from. Huh. Like I think that's a good bias to start from.
The reason I brought this up was if there are men who enjoy anal play and it doesn't have anything to do with their latent homosexuality, then there has to be a there, right? Like, and it for this man, at least, it sounds like he's done all this work to try to see if there's a nut at the end of the tunnel. And he hasn't found one. Now, maybe he's less sensitive than the average man. Maybe they just haven't figured out how to hit his prostate properly. But all the comments say you need to like find the prostate and then you need to use a vibrator. Or at least most people need to use a vibrator. That just sounds like, I don't know.
I mean, it seems possible that anatomically this only would work for some men also. I mean, I'm not sure there's a strong reason this would be selected for.
Why? I mean, all men have prostates. Most men have prostates.
Sure, but it'd be pleasurable to stimulate it. It's not obvious to me why all men would have that trait. It's not important to reproduction and so forth.
Would it be some sort of vestigial consequence of evolution? Like at some point did we used to get fertilized through our buttholes? I don't know.
No, probably not that, but there might be like, you know, different kinds of tissue here and there. It also might relate to the female response cycle and where various anatomy is on women and that being similar on a man. And so there's something, I mean, they use the term G-spot. So he's like making some equivalence there. I'm not sure. Who knows what you're really stimulating? Are you really stimulating the prostate, or are you stimulating like the root of the penis? Because I mean, the penis sort of has an internal part to it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm less sensitive toward the base of my dick than I am toward the head.
I think that's normal. You ever try masturbating just with like the bottom centimeter?
No, I could try, but why?
Yeah, it'd be hard to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like this is such a dumb question. It's like, hey, we're having problems with sex. And they describe this problem. I'm like, yeah, you're doing sex wrong. If you want to have an orgasm, put your penis in your wife's vagina. Like, it'll work a lot better.
Right.
Like, I just don't understand the source. I just don't understand, like, their thinking here.
If there was some, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, it might be worth doing the exploration. I don't know. I don't feel any compulsion. But maybe I'm just being naive or close-minded or something. Maybe there's something amazing
there. I think you are, Keith. I think there is a pot of gold in there. And the reason I believe that
is having gold.
Having spent significant time on sniffies.com, Grindr, and so forth, I know that there are gay men who pursue this activity exclusively. So why are they doing that?
Well, what I want is to find a group of like really strongly heterosexual men that are doing this, which I think it exists if the sex subreddit is to be believed.
What will you do once you find this group of strongly heterosexual men doing this?
I would ask them some questions to better explain why they think this is worth exploring.
Okay. I assume it just feels good.
Yeah, no, I can accept that it feels good for some men, but this man clearly isn't in that group. So what's the motivation? Is it like, hey, I really want to be gay, and so I want to make this feel good? Or I really like being submissive, and this is a way for me to do that? Like, I'm not really sure.
He just wants to climb that peak of Everest of sexual
I think he believes so there's something
mindless
there.
Mindless exploration?
I guess, yes. I don't know if it's mindless. He thinks there's something there based on, I don't know, rumors. But I mean, look, we're going to get a bunch of emails from people who claim to be straight and love prostate play now. So,
well, we always do.
These people exist.
I'm not saying that those people don't exist. They definitely exist.
Well, why are they 90% of our emailers, though? Like that.
They're activists.
Yeah, they're activists.
Well, I think also
it's their fetish.
Listen, emotionally unhealthy people are overrepresented in complainers. And if you have the impulse to write an email about that, you should think about the content of what I just said.
Right.
This is why I'm not on the podcast very often.
So, Eric, fair. Wasn't there some topic you wanted to argue with us about from last week?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Like 3 weeks ago, you had some. This is the only episode I've ever had to fast forward through.
Oh, right.
And it was Keith going on and on and on about the proper place to finish during sex.
During the first sexual.
And like, you ever have an experience where you're like fast forwarding through something and you stop after 5 minutes and you're like, Jesus, they're still fucking talking about this. That was my experience listening to that. And I just can't, I don't understand. That was a bad episode and shame on you.
So,
and I don't understand what you're. Idea over this is when you're having sex with a woman, the default is you ejaculate in her vagina. Like that's sort of the implicit bargain there.
All right.
I'm excited to use this phrase. We can collectively bargain this shortly. But first I want to briefly defend myself about how long that segment was. I feel like Mike was goading me on and he really wanted to like cover all the possible different positions and is your recollection different, sure, Mike?
Yeah, no, you're complicit in that.
He's somewhat culpable here.
Were things I learned because I learned, and people should, I mean, to tease the episode, Keith likes to ejaculate in places that I didn't think guys did. And I was surprised by some of the information that I gained from that. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, things that I didn't know about. So people can go back and check that out.
Yeah. So, yeah, the premise was I don't know in early sexual encounters whether the person I'm sleeping with is on birth control. And so I would like, as a man, to orgasm inside of a woman's vagina. But if that hasn't been discussed, I'm not sure I can just accept that. But you said something before we started recording here, which I think is probably right. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
You said that by her letting me inside of her, it's implied. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably right.
Well, but you still don't. I mean, your concern, Keith, is that you don't have 100% confidence that she's managing her birth control regimen properly. And you don't know what will happen if she gets pregnant.
Yeah. But
well, the answer there is you just wear a condom.
Yeah, not enough to put on a condom.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten over that at least to some extent. And yeah, I mean, this is basically a handbook for things not to do in early sexual encounters. And I issued all of the appropriate don't try this at home, folks, and I recognize this is bad, and this doesn't happen often, but it does occasionally happen that like somebody will say like, oh, we don't need to use a condom. Perhaps we've discussed that, you know, we've each taken a recent STI test, so we know that we're clean. So the only undiscussed thing is, or the only unknown thing is how diligent she is about her birth control.
All right. Well, I don't want to add to the problem of over-discussing the topic.
Your solution would be a condom. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah, you wear a condom. Or you pull out and nut on her tits, like whatever.
Well, but what do you do if she's in doggy style?
Back or whatever. I don't want to talk about this. You guys already talked about this too much.
You would go on the back, but what do you think about somebody who nuts under, between her legs on her comforter?
That would make me angry if I were the person.
Well, that's what he does.
Yeah. Like, you're just making a mess.
You skipped over some good content there. I feel nuts like, on the comforter.
I think it's rude to come on their back.
Do you at least, Keith, do you at least put down a black towel?
No, but is that like a thing? Do I need? Is that like a universally recognized
protein
thing?
Stains. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's universally recognized. I think it's just this one listener at 5 a.m.
I think that, okay, we can move on, but I just want to say one more thing. I do think that most people would prefer to be nut on than to have like their comforter stained. It doesn't stain. You can just rinse it out, but to have their comforter sullied. But if you haven't discussed that, I think you have like a bit of a conundrum there.
Oh, actually, the other thing that I really wanted to say is the real answer here is you just need to get a vasectomy, dude. Why don't you have a vasectomy? Like, you're never having kids.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Like, you're like the prime candidate for getting a vasectomy. It makes no sense that you're having this anxiety over this.
I agree.
You could just have a vasectomy in one of your testicles. That would drop the odds in half.
No, that's not how that works.
Well, then you only have conservative children.
The left one.
No, I don't want to get a vasectomy because what if I meet someone who really wants to have a kid? I think it's super whatever. The proper thing to say is you can actually undo vasectomies, or I could store up a bunch of sperm.
That's or you true. Can embrace reality and realize that's never going to happen, dude.
Or yeah, concede that that is a 2%. 1%, probably less than 1% odds of occurring.
Even if you did, you're too old now. Like, you don't want to be a new dad in your late 40s.
No, I do not.
That's a bad lifestyle choice.
For starters, I'm 43. And there's some discussion about whether that's mid-40s or early 40s. But I'm not
late 40s. Rounding up because you're not meeting this person tomorrow.
That's true. And by the time that this child would be born, I would be 44 at the youngest. No, the only possibility is that I meet the woman of my dreams and that would be a deal breaker for her. But that seems vanishingly unlikely as you...
Yes, you have so many bigger deal breakers, that's unlikely right. to be the thing that matters.
Right. Yeah. And if that was a deal, like imagining a woman for whom that is a deal breaker and me being really, really, really into is... Mm-hmm. I think it's possible, but not likely.
Yeah. Time to grow up, Keith.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a vasectomy. That's just because I never get laid.
Fair right. enough. Okay. I want to talk about this. So this person says, my boyfriend gagged while going down on me. As the title states, my boyfriend gagged while going down on me. I feel so embarrassed. I've always been really insecure about it, and I washed thoroughly before. I feel shattered. I just want to lay down and cry. It's like I never want to have sex again. I don't smell down there. He said it tasted a bit sour at times and that it hit him the wrong way at the wrong time, which made him gag. I feel so insecure and disgusting now. I understand he can't help it, but I just can't talk to him or talk about what happened. He feels really sorry, but it just doesn't help. I was finally okay with trying it after months, and it went well for a bit, but now I just feel completely shattered. Does anyone maybe have any tips on how to taste better and or how to get over the intense feelings of disgust and sadness? Thank you for anyone who replies. I just really need to feel more okay with what happened right now. So she gave us an update, and this is what I thought was interesting about this. Thank you so much for all your replies. I've read every single one, and we're going to get some cranberry supplements, treatments, pH neutral wash, and changing some things without sex. You're all helpful and wonderful people. Thank you so much. This cottage industry of convincing women that there's some suite of products that they can use to make their vagina more ready is absurd. Like, it's already crazy that, like, there's this pink tax on deodorant and, like, face wash where, like, women pay 10 times as much. But now there's pH balancing your vagina. Like, this is getting out of hand.
I think it's fine.
Do you think it does anything?
No. One thing that it made me think is, you know, there's actually a decent industry of gagging porn.
Uh-huh.
But the gagging porn is always a woman giving a blowjob. It's never a man giving oral to a woman and gagging.
Right. Right.
So maybe this could be like a new thing.
Maybe you can combine your newfound love of massive clit porn and find somebody gagging on a woman's massive clit.
That's not what they're gagging because of the smell or the taste, not the massive clit.
Yeah, you said it was sour. The word I like when people describe it is tangy. That really, in one word, describes.
How did she know that he actually gagged? Did he tell her, or did he like?
Presumably,
she
heard it.
I think that if somebody's physically gagging when they get close to your genitals, there's probably something actually wrong. This could happen with a man. I mean, so there's like three kinds of gagging, or, you know, well, two kinds, I guess. There's the gagging because of odor or taste, and then there's gagging because something's been shoved down your throat, whether it's a penis or a very large clit.
Angel Man 410 says, it's important to remember that there are many things that can cause a gag reflex. Smell is only one of them. Sometimes other elements of cunnilingus, such as mild airway restriction and having a mouthful of flesh, can trigger a gag reflex. Lastly, remember that many people have very sensitive gag reflexes that can be triggered very easily.
It seems much more likely that it's odor or flavor.
Yeah,
I agree. She even said that he said that it tasted sour and that it hit him the wrong way at the wrong time. Like, the book is closed on whether something else caused the gag. It was the way she tasted.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there's just like, I do not think that women need to buy special, multiple, you know, more expensive products for this kind of stuff. But that being said, I think there's probably some kind of learning that can happen around this. And I mean, I actually know there are videos on YouTube. There's a subreddit called r/YouTube Pussy. Normally it's for like bikini waxes. It's basically, as long as it's done in a professional context, you can show a vagina on YouTube. And there's probably something like that for washing too. And women could sort of get a tutorial and wash it more aggressively or assertively.
I would expect that women who have hairy assholes could have problems getting clean enough if they haven't showered.
Their vagina or their butt?
I mean, they're so close on women.
Right, right. Only a couple centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
You think, I actually don't think it's very likely that it's feces that's contaminating the area here. I think it's more likely urine.
Or pH balance.
No, that's true. I mean, it could just be kind of a funk generally. Exercise, underwear, so on and so forth.
I had an experience a while back where I had eaten asparagus. And, you know, as you know, I'm somewhat new to my dabbling in enthusiastically receiving blowjobs. And so this gal wanted to go down on me, and I turned it down because I had Googled prior that asparagus can affect semen taste as well.
Well, at a minimum, you could have residue of urine in there that has the stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I think most of semen's taste is not urine residue. And isn't that urine residue mostly removed by the blowjob itself?
Yes. But she's still going to encounter it.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of reasonable. I think you could have spicy food, curry food. You can taste in these areas, and I think a lot of times it's in the urine. Yeah.
Have you had partners complain about asparagus or curry in your semen?
I have not. No. But
would,
that doesn't
would
mean
they
it
have?
Happen. No,
okay.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's a no-op there. Yeah, all right. I want to talk about this this person whose husband has never touched her vagina with his hands. Posting because I'm wondering if any other men are like this and if they can give perspective about why they feel that way. My husband has never touched my vagina with his hands. He's touched through my underwear before, but not ever touched it directly. And definitely not his mouth either. The only part of him that has ever touched my vagina is his penis when we have sex. Now, don't get me wrong. He loves sex with me, and I also enjoy it with him, although I don't orgasm. Shocked. He's never been able to make me orgasm. He tried before, but it didn't work. So now we don't even try. How do you even try to orgasm without making physical contact? Anyway, but we still have sex very often, almost daily, and I generally do enjoy it, and I do have fun. Just accepted that I'll never orgasm from my husband. And that's totally fine. He's a really loving husband, and we have a great marriage. Just wondering what could make him not want to touch it with his fingers. Any men who are the same, I would love to hear from you. Wonder if the wetness grosses him out. Maybe it's strange to him. Not really trying to change anything, just wondering about it out of curiosity. Thanks for any opinions. So I think the horses have left the barn for her. Like, there may have been a window where she could have cajoled him into, you know, touching her pussy. But, like, you know, they married presumably for years. Like, he's whatever suppression of his disgust reflex he was going to need to do to get over the hump of feeling comfortable with that, that mountain has gotten higher because she's not a new partner.
Well, and also I think he feels like there's no point.
Yes. Right? She's allowed him to get lazy and totally tolerated it for a long time now.
Right. So, well, I mean, I think that guys definitely, it's harder as a man to motivate to do a sexual activity if you don't think it's going to lead to someone's orgasm. Because that's like, as a man, that's kind of the direction things lead.
Right. Like, if you were to tell me, like, if I had a partner that wanted me to go down on her for 12 minutes and she said, like, oh, I never orgasm, it just feels good, I think I would be substantially less enthusiastic.
Right.
I might do it.
I think she could convince him to do it. I think there are things she could do.
What, six, offer 69?
She could, like, put his car keys up there or something. Like, give him a reason, like, to put the remote up there.
He just needs a prod. I wonder if he's ever touched any woman's vagina. Also, how does he insert his penis into her? Or does she just take care of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's not like a phobia. He's probably willing to put his fingers near there for certain.
Maybe it's like a skill check by him. He's like, look, Ma, no hands.
Well, it is possible to put your penis in without hands.
Yeah. Maybe he just, like, that was a thing he was into when he was younger, and he just is.
And actually, to do that requires, like, a fairly firm erection, so it is a bit, like, of a flex.
Sorry, those are terrible jokes.
She might be helping. She could guide as well.
Yeah, that's true. How much money in dollar bills would have to be up a man's rectum, Keith, for you to be willing to extract it?
This sounds like a new game show, actually.
Let's say it's
like a Japanese game show.
Or let's just say it's like a neutral man, not super unattractive, not super attractive.
How clean?
Normal, just normally clean. So, like, yeah, there's gotta be some shit.
I think it actually doesn't matter if it's clean or not.
Alrighty.
Because I'm gonna have to wash my hands.
No, you have to use your just hand. Yeah, you can wash your hands afterward, but you got to reach up there. Like, would you do it for $100? If a guy wanted you to reach in his asshole for $100, would you do it?
I don't think $100.
So it'd take like $1,000?
I mean, it seems unreasonable to say no to $1,000.
Interesting.
What's your number, Mike?
I think I'd do it for $100.
You would not.
I think I would, just for the story.
I might have $100 on me.
Do you want to stick up your asshole?
Let's see. All right, we got to go to a bank, but I don't know. This might be worth it.
I mean, you'll have to
stay
stick
tuned
it up your
for
our
next episode.
I mean, I'd rather it be someone I don't know. It would change if it was videotaped too. Maybe I would go down if it was videotaped because then it's even funnier.
I trust you guys to report whether or not this happened.
All right.
$100.
Yeah, how about $53? That's what I've got.
Do you really want to stick $53 up your asshole so I'll pull it out?
Hey, Keith, how much are you willing to pay me to stick $53 up my asshole for Mike's
pull-out? I can rubbage up $47 here, I think.
So you'll get – no, but I'll get all the money then.
Sure, sure.
You don't want any of the money. You just want me to have pulled money out of your asshole?
I don't know.
How are you going to do 53 and then
– we'll work this out offline.
Yeah. We'll do it in coins.
Yeah. I'm just curious – yeah, 53 would requires a minimum of four bills.
Right. That's fine.
And really, finding a 50 is kind of hard in this day and age, so it's going
to
require...
Yeah, it might be hard to get it all out, but...
might require six bills.
Yeah.
I may use a surrogate for this.
Who?
I don't know.
A friend?
Anyone.
Okay. Anyone, yeah, okay.
A surrogate might be better for you, Mike.
I don't want it to be a homeless guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think
a syringe up there.
One of the rules was that it has to be like, you know, a normal person. You don't want to be sick.
That's right. So related to that, you know, there could be money up this guy's vagina, but I don't. This woman's vagina, but I don't think that's actually what's going on. I think he's just considers it pointless.
I think he's probably a little afraid too.
Maybe.
After so many years, you know, it you're just sort of disgusted by it.
Well, people just don't want to do a thing that doesn't work. I don't know.
No, I think he doesn't want to do a thing that grosses him out a little bit.
Maybe.
Like he's sort of made the pussy like a foreign object that isn't to be. You know, like I don't touch my asshole much. You know, it's sort of not forbidden or taboo. It's like awful. Like I don't like interacting with it. And I think his wife's vagina... might be just because it's kind of gross. Like I'm disgusted by it. And I think he may be sort of disgusted by his wife's vagina.
I'm not disgusted by my asshole. Kind of like it.
Have you done the thing where you like stand over a mirror and examine it carefully?
I'm not sure.
That's a thing.
thing I did it. I've done it once or twice. And like both times I've just been like, this is just awful. I wish I didn't know this about myself. Like
I'm not sure that would bother me.
You should try.
It bothers me that Keith did it.
It bothers me idea of people sitting.
You guys
doing...
can do all of these things as part of the money retrieval experience.
Yeah. Well, you could just use your phone and take.
I would definitely pay you $100 to go into Keith's asshole.
No.
Okay.
All right. All right. Move on, Keith.
Yeah, it wasn't. Importantly, it was the. Getting of money, retrieving it from someone else's. I don't want anyone digging around in my asshole. All right. This person says, I made a guy come twice in a row. Men, has this ever happened to you? I, a 25-year-old female, was hooking up with a guy, also 25, I've been dating for a few months. This has been my first sexual relationship, and we've been having sex like once a week. We were having missionary sex, and when he pulled out to come, see, there's at least two of us. He had two orgasms, about 5 to 10 seconds apart from each other. It seemed to catch him off guard. My whole lower abdomen was covered in cum. He said he hadn't masturbated all week. Guys, have you ever had back-to-back orgasms? If so, under what circumstances? I thought it was really rare.
I don't think they're really back-to-back orgasms. I think it's just a very large load that comes out. Kind of not in successive spurts.
Yes, the first 20 comments are basically something to that effect. What is the shortest refractory period you ever had?
Oh, like 5 minutes or less.
Right, and it was decades ago, right?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I don't have to be proud here.
Yeah,
I think something like that, 5 or 5 minutes. But 5 to 10 seconds is just... the same orgasm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, guys, although
you could have like an aborted orgasm or something.
There was a porn we reviewed on the podcast many episodes ago that showed a guy come and then come again, like a minute later.
I remember that.
There is some weird capability that some guys appear to possess.
I think some men can like abort an orgasm mid cycle or something and then get it back moments
later.
Right,
so they're putting out some of the nut, but it's not actually the orgasm.
Yeah.
That seems possible. Yeah.
Yeah. My days of short refractory period are unfortunately over. I don't know if I want to. I think I have a normal refractory period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is sort of a long thing here. Yeah, all right, let's get into it. All right, this person says, my boyfriend won't marry me if I don't give him sex every day. They're in their mid-20s. They've been together 7 years. They have two kids and have discussed marriage. Blah, 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 blah. She says her sex drive is low. She struggles with a weak pelvic floor, hormonal imbalance, chronic depression, anxiety, grieving the loss of her grandmother, and dealing with postpartum stuff as a stay-at-home mom. Her mental health has been a real battle lately. He's incredibly supportive in all ways. But he said sex is every day is a need that I gave him when we're first together. And that's one of the main reasons he got serious with me in the first place. He said, if I want him to make me his wife, that we have to get back to that, or at least attempt to have sex every day, even if it gets interrupted somehow. He doesn't want to have to find it elsewhere. Okay. What is a reasonable amount of sex to expect in a marriage?
I don't think this is a reasonable expectation.
What percentile woman would he have to find to have this expectation met?
I think it's more complicated than that, personally.
I don't necessarily mean that a woman who wants this is better. I just mean, like, how rare is a woman like this who wants to have sex every day?
I think it's somewhat rare, and I think it's typically collected around accepting some people that I've learned about via this podcast and talked to via this podcast. But I think it generally is collected around women who are not particularly attractive or maybe overweight. So then their behaviors become more man-like.
I see.
No, I've dated a couple of girls who would have taken that bargain.
Yeah. I mean, it's
but it's not, relatively rare.
It doesn't exist. It does exist, but I think it's rare. I think a more typical expectation would be like twice a week.
Yeah. What if she said, I only want to have sex twice a month? Like, what do you think men should tolerate that? How unusual do you think that is?
I think it's somewhat common. Should a guy tolerate it? I mean, it's not great from the guy's perspective, but I think that guys get into situations like that and then they can't, there's not that much they can do because they don't have control in the situation. I mean, you're sort of like moving over to the borderline.
Yeah.
Right. You're moving over to the borderline dead bedroom situation there.
I guess I'm wondering, like, when is therapy required? Like, what amount is normal? Like, what do you think the 80th percentile range is?
Well, twice a week is like, I think, the standard thing.
Right. So do you get like 80% of marriages in their 30s by saying like between three times a week and three times a month?
Probably.
I wonder. I wonder if there are more dead bedrooms than people imagine.
I think that's possible also. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to say because people will have like guilt and shame about it. And so they won't be upfront.
Right, of course. Right.
I think, you know, I mean, particularly when you have like financial stress with kids, things like that, you can just be in a situation where nobody has any time. Any sort of like fighting or whatever. So yeah, you're probably right that actually like there is a long tail, a long and fatter than one would think tail on like the infrequency side. And then there's a small group of people that are like every day.
Yeah. Okay. That all makes sense. I guess you would have to caveat like, yeah, you don't have a broken relationship generally. And like half of all relationships are broken. So,
right.
Okay. Let's wrap up with something sort of fun here. This is about tits. And there were two topics, things here that are short and are both around people not liking large breasts for various reasons. So, all right, this person says, I have big tits and I feel insecure about riding dick. Am I being delirious? I have big tits, F cup, and sometimes I feel a little uneasy, uncomfortable riding a guy because they're not perky due to their size and weight and don't hold up. I don't think they look as hot as they do in missionary. Do y'all personally find it unattractive? Am I being stupid? Person two, he confessed that he hates my large breasts and he refused to touch them. I went to jump off a bridge. I asked my partner why he never touched my breasts, and he said that he hates large breasts and only likes smaller or flat chests. Why the heck would he choose to ask me out? My breasts are very sensitive, and I'm dying to have my nipples played with, but he doesn't find them attractive, and it's making me hate my body right now. How do we move past this? Rip her inbox. I think there is diminishing returns on breast tissue mass.
Yeah, I mean, the woman, the first woman, I can sort of understand that. She probably doesn't look that good in that position.
Doesn't it look worse in missionary than it does in cowgirl?
Not necessarily, because they sort of flatten out. And so it doesn't.
Yeah, they like fall to the side.
Yeah. I mean, what position do you think they look the best in? Doggy style?
I mean, you can't really see them.
Well, what if you're watching from the side like a cameraman?
I do kind of like that angle in porn when the cameraman's to the side and you see the breasts just sort of swinging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, for sure. I like it too.
It's not an experience I can have in my own first person.
Not until you get the Apple Vision Pro, Keith.
Is there porn specifically designed for the Vision Pro yet? Or is the Vision Pro just like any other VR headset?
I think it's like any other VR headset, but this would be something different from that, right? This would be like you wear it and then have a drone flying in your bedroom so you can watch yourself from the side in VR.
I think the elephant in the room here, and pun definitely intended, is a woman with F-cup breasts is going to be probably obese.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if she has body confidence issues, it shouldn't be specific to her tits.
Yeah, she's conflating her general discomfort with her weight. Yeah, I think that's most likely. And of course, none of the comments mentioned that.
Yeah.
They're too politically correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think you guys, like, what is your preferred breast size?
All right.
Preferred? You know, like a full C or whatever. But like, if they're perky and nice,
yeah,
sort of the sky's the limit. Like,
yeah,
I don't want novelty, like triple D or whatever. But right. Like a big D if they're like a good shape and like the girl's young or whatever, has good implants. Yeah, that's great.
Do you prefer? Okay, on the topic of implants, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that takes away a lot for me.
Well, there's a wide range there. There are really bad ones and pretty good ones.
Yeah. So. I've experienced both, and there is a wide range. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I have something to say, but I can't really. I'll tell you guys offline. Sorry, listeners.
I forgot what the second thing was there.
Wait. What is your preference?
Oh, my preference?
Yeah, yours is just like small.
Probably
as possible, this right?
Similar to. No, it's not. Yeah, I like to have completely flat chest. No, I think I have the same preference as Eric.
Yeah, okay, that's like all men, full C.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's... Yeah, there's something adaptive about that, I think.
Yeah. It's big enough that it hinders her. I want the woman to be hindered by her breasts.
It implies a certain BMI, I think.
Maybe. It just means there's like things that I can do better because I don't have this thing hanging from my chest.
Actually, wait. It does imply a BMI, but the BMI implies is usually actually overweight. But given not being overweight and having perky C's, that implies probably fecundity.
Sure. Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
You like feet binding too?
Do I like feet binding? Yeah. No. Yeah. Why?
Well, because that would make her physically inferior to you too. It's like, oh, I'm so much better walking around than standing upright.
Yeah. Amputees. Down syndrome. These are my fetishes.
Yeah, all right. All right, you guys have anything else you want to litigate before I wrap this up?
I don't think so.
All right. that'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. You can send us feedback or questions to ymmvpod@gmail.com. If you don't want us to use your questions on the air, please let us know. And we pay $10 for feedback, so give us your Venmo or whatever. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary.